Welcome to the Behaviorist Book Club. My name is Matt Harrington. I am your host, and we are going to be talking all about ABA research. In this podcast, we break down one ABA research article per episode, taking out the key findings for you so that on your morning commute or on your way into work, you can become a better behavior analyst. Now, let's get to the show. Hello, and welcome to the Behaviorist Book Club. My name is Matt, and we're going to be continuing our journey through the essential readings that I think that every behavior analyst should know. So this time we are taking a little bit of a pivot from what we've been talking about, which has been some more conceptual stuff, some ethical stuff, and getting into kind of the hard facts, like exactly what types of interventions we can be looking at using, as well as what types of solutions that we're going to have for these challenging moments that some of our learners have to work through. So this time we're going to be talking about automatically maintained behavior, specifically Hagopian and colleagues' initial outcomes of an augmented competing stimulus assessment. This was in JABA as well. There's a lot of things that I like about the ACSA, as you'll hear me call it multiple times. The main thing that I like about the ACSA, though, is that it wasn't designed to be an informative assessment alone. There was not just an idea where we are going to describe and predict what we're going to be seeing, but it's going to actually inform an intervention. And it was one of the assessments that as soon as I started working with it and started using it, I realized how ingrained of a concept that it could be within an entire treatment plan. I don't know about you, but there are definitely some assessments that I've done as a BCBA, specifically ones that typically insurance makes you do, where I do the assessment in order to get the initial assessment approved, right? I do the assessment because it is what insurance is asking me to do, or maybe there's some other reason like company policy or something. But at the end of the day, the plan that I had before the intervention and the plan that I had after the intervention was the exact same. And to be totally clear, that is a complete waste of time, and it is a waste of the client's time as well as your time. Right? Because the whole point of the assessment, the thing that takes time away from helping somebody because we're finding out more information, trying to figure out the bottom of something, is to change and make your intervention more effective. Let's think about a really simple example here. Let's say that you had a client who you were going to use maybe escape extinction with. All right, so that was the core intervention component that you were going to be using. We'll add in some FCT. It was going to be a whole intervention. And then your boss comes up to you and says, hey, we really need to redo that caregiver interview to make sure we have it right. And you redo the caregiver interview and you just check the boxes, right? You just say, oh, what was the behavior? What was this? What was that? And you don't really try in the interview. You really just go check the boxes to turn in the piece of paper and then move on. Well, that interview didn't actually change the overall intervention you were going to end up using, right? It was a copy-paste intervention, right? You did it with one kid, now you're doing it with this kid. Now let's take something totally different, right? Let's say that you did the descriptive observation and you decided to use that escape extinction and FCT intervention, right? So you did one assessment and you were set on an intervention. Then that same situation where the clinical director said, you know what, go ahead and do one more interview, make sure we get the function right. You go into that interview, it's really strong, it's open-ended, there's lots of great dialogue, and you realize that one of the things you may have missed in that observation is you may have missed some tangible function, right? You may have missed a little bit of social positive. And so then what happens is you take the information you gained in the assessment, the time that took away from the intervention, and then you modify your intervention, thus creating better intervention, right? In that case, the assessment informed the treatment. And when it comes to assessments that we need to be using and are the only ones we should be using, that's what we're focusing on. And that is why I like the ACSA. It was designed to be used. It was not designed to gain information for information's sake. It was designed to be used. So let's take a couple steps back. I've been saying ACSA, Augmented Competing Stimulus Assessment. What is a CSA? Just a competing stimulus assessment. And what are they used for? Well, CSAs are one of the most common strategies used when dealing with purely automatically maintained behavior. They stand for a competing stimulus assessment. At a very simple term, you take the amount of behavior that is occurring when the learner is without any items, and then you compare that to the amount of behavior that's occurring when they're in various different environments, typically when they're being provided stimuli. So what this looks like in practice is the kid maybe has a self-injurious behavior that's automatically maintained. So he's engaging in a self-injury at a rate of 1 per minute in just the normal everyday environment. Then you put that same kid and you put him in front of 12 water wows with all the different colors and stuff like that, and he engages in 1 SIB per minute for that test time. All right, so water wows were present, a stimuli was present, there was no change in rate of behavior. Then you take that kid and you put him in front of spinning tops and marbles, more like visual sensory stuff. And suddenly he has no SIB, or maybe he has 1 SIB every 5 minutes. So his rate of SIB has decreased significantly. Therefore, we can say that the reinforcement from the stimuli is competing with the other source of reinforcement garnered from automatic reinforcement. Remember here, because we're talking about automatic reinforcement, we're not talking about replacement behaviors or stuff like that. We're talking about matching or competing or over creating more reinforcement in one area than another. Because the source of reinforcement coming from, for example, self-injury might be here, we need competing sources of reinforcement that give more reinforcement, whether that be, you know, visuals, water, whatever the child may prefer. And I'm using like toy examples, but you can extend this concept to basically anything. Scrolling on TikTok, you know, is a competing stimuli. 80 CEUs, $10 a month, 3 to 5 new CEUs being added every single month. Straightforward, simple. That's CEU Streamlined. I created the Netflix of CEUs with all of not only my old content, but 3 to 5 new hours of CEUs being added every single month. Right now, we're at 85 videos and climbing more and more with over 400 behavior analysts getting all the CEUs they could dream about for only $10 a month. So if you're interested, go ahead and go to behavioristbookclub.com and click the link that says Streamline Info, or check the link below this episode. I know that you will love it, and I guarantee you that you will get all the CEUs you need at, finally, an affordable price. Why the ACSA? Well, the reality is that the CSA, while it was a great tool, it was a fairly passive assessment. You would throw a bunch of crap at the wall and just see what sticks, right? So here's this item, here's this toy, here's this environment. Is anything working? And what people found is that CSAs were not always that helpful, because those with more intense self-injury, more resistant to change self-injurious behavior or other automatically maintained behavior, well, the behavior just wouldn't change with the standard CSA. No matter what they were throwing, the behavior stayed the same. That's where the ACSA comes in. Now, there's a lot behind this article in terms of different subtyping of automatically maintained behavior, subtypes 1, 2, and 3. I'm not going to go into all of that. There's other places where I've talked about this content, and feel free to message or DM me if you want any information on it. But essentially, what I will say is that there are subtypes of self-injury that can be identified from the functional analysis that are more challenging to reduce. Typically, it just means that the learner has very little interest in engaging in other things other than their self-injury. So in order to get that learner to engage in those competing sources of reinforcement, well, you have to do more. And that's where the teaching comes in, the prompting comes in, the modeling comes in, the thematic matching comes in, and all of that comes in with the ACSA. The ACSA, think of it like a CSA on steroids. Instead of one phase where you just throw a bunch of crap at the wall, there's 3 separate phases. And the first one repeats twice. So in total, there's 4 phases. The goal of the ACSA is to find an effective competing stimuli. Similar to what we were looking for before in the CSA, the difference here is that we're looking for something with engagement rates of 80% or above. So it's not just that problem behavior is reduced, but we also want to see engagement going up. This, once again, is because these behaviors are so much harder to resist. We need to see forward motion. We need to see engagement. We need to see essentially that we're learning to play, which, spoiler alert, in my opinion, the ACSA is a very well done play intervention as well as an automatic assessment. So what are those conditions? Well, there's free access. Think of that as your standard CSA. Next, we go to prompted engagement. So if we don't find an effective competing stimulus in the free access, we move to the next stage. That is when the therapist is prompting and modeling play every 10 seconds or so, depending on the client. Then we go into prompted engagement and response blocking, or prompted engagement plus redirection, depending on the client. Once again, what is ever best? I typically do redirection, but it does depend on the type of behavior you're working with. This is when therapist is prompting engagement and also redirecting back to the toy that the learner is playing with. The goal here is to basically just expose the child more and increase the attending to the different items in hope that they will pick up some of those play skills. And then we repeat the free access, with the goal being that all of the learning that happened during the prompted engagement, where the therapist is modeling how to play with the toy, and prompted engagement and redirection or response blocking, where once again, there's a lot more teaching that comes along with those processes, that then the learner is able to play without any intervention components. And now once they repeat the free access, well, now they can, you know, go on their day and have those effective competing stimulus with them and engage in lower rates of typically self-injury, was in this article. So what did we find here? So essentially what we found is that the ACSA was a more effective way to identify competing stimuli than just a standard CSA. And the way we found that was very simple. We looked at the first initial CSA results, right? So what did the free access tell us? Well, the free access was showing us that none of these learners had competing stimuli. Then after the ASCSA, when we repeated the free access, we found that there were competing stimuli, therefore indicating that there was behavior change as a result of the ACSA process. Now, we did do a little bit of extensions and generalizations, or I guess rather the authors did, but this article wasn't really about the generalization of the intervention. I can tell you as a practitioner, I have extended and generalized the ACSA multiple times. It does take time. It is a slow fade and shaping process, as you'd expect with automatically maintained behavior, but you can fade and shape this intervention to longer and longer amounts of times, as well as fading the availability of effective competing reinforcers, bringing in other things as well. So the key takeaways I want us to pull away here is that treatment-resistant behavior exists, and it's challenging, but it's not impossible. There are specific studies, especially nowadays, the more recent studies that are looking hard to manage challenging behavior and learners who may need a little bit of extra help. So I encourage you to do the digging, do the research, and really find you and your client a good solution that is evidence-based, that can get them from point A, which is where they are now, to wherever they want to end up going. And the other key takeaway, I think this is more of a meta takeaway, is that always consider if the assessment that you're doing is changing the eventual intervention that you're going to end up implementing. Because if you're not, you're just wasting time. And I know as a clinician, it can feel so much that we're just filling in paperwork to fill in paperwork. But if you take some time to learn, for example, the Vineland, and dive into what questions are being asked of the parent and how it's being implemented, you might find that there's actually some really good findings there as well. So overall, the ACSA, great paper to have under your belt, great assessment to learn. If you need any more help on it, just reach out. I'm happy to work with you. That's all I got for you. I love this article. It's a great automatically maintained behavior article. It's a great way to work with automatically maintained behavior. I will see you in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you learned something, and I hope you continue to learn something as you tune in Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays to the Behaviorist Book Club. If you liked this episode, consider leaving us a review, sharing it with a friend, and most importantly, using it in your clinical practice. There's no other reason why I do this than to make you a better behavior analyst and to make myself a better clinician. See you in the next one.